Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 14. Okay, 1 Kings 14. And at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise now, disguise yourself so that they may not know that you are the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah, the prophet, is there, who spoke concerning me that I would be king over this people. And take 10 loaves with you, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. Now Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim because of his age. Now the Lord said to Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he is sick. You shall say thus and thus to her, for it will be when she arrives that she will pretend to be another woman." And it came about when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet coming in the doorway that he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another woman? For I am sent to you with a harsh message. Go, say to Jeroboam, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you leader over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept his commandments and who followed me with all of his heart to do only that which was right in my sight. You also have done more evil than all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I am bringing calamity on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male person, both bond and free in Israel, and I will make a clean sweep of the house of Jeroboam as one sweeps away dung until it is all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And he who dies in the field, the birds of the heavens will eat, for the Lord has spoken it. Now you arise, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child will die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he alone of Jeroboam's family shall come to the grave, because in him something good was found toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam this day and from now on. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and will uproot Israel from the good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the Euphrates River because they have made their Asherim, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give up Israel on account of the sins of Jeroboam which he committed and with which he made Israel to sin." Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And as she was entering the threshold of the house, the child died. And all Israel buried him and mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the time that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his place. Now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy more than all their fathers had done with the sins which they had committed. For they also built for themselves high places and sacred pillars and Asherim on every high hill and beneath every luxuriant tree. And there all were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. Now it came about in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And he took everything, even taking all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place and committed them to the care of the commanders of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. Then it happened as often as the king entered the house of the Lord that the guards would carry them and would bring them back into the guard's room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, became king in his place. Amen. Okay, so we have this very interesting prophecy against the king. But the story is written like this in such a way to remind us how bad it's gotten for Jeroboam. So Jeroboam's son, and this son, for whatever reason, was the prize son. If you read later on in 20, there was another son, Nadab. But there was something about Abijah, and the prophet even mentions that there was actually something good about him, and not much anything else good about the house of Jeroboam. And the situation in Israel is so bad that when this calamity happens to their family, he actually sends his wife, but she has to pretend to be somebody else. And so why would that happen? This is the king of Israel. This is the God is the king of Israel. But yet, the situation has gotten so bad in Israel. And that what most scholars believe is that that all of his political affiliations, the way he runs his kingdom, is all based on pagan practices. If he were to go, and if these other rulers, I mean his lieutenants and captains and all that, if they knew that he was going to go consult the man of God, there may have been a coup or some kind of revolt. And so, which really just gives us this picture of this is how bad it's gotten. That even for the Israelites, even for the king of the Israelites to go and consult a man of God would have seemed to be something very odd. And not even very odd, it would seem to be something that could actually tear the kingdom apart. This is the state of apostasy that Jeroboam has led the Israelite people in. And so he wants to consult a man of God. And so the way he goes about it is he sends his wife to be a spy. And he disguises, and everything about the disguise is there. Even she takes 10 loaves with some of the cakes. It's actually a particular word. And these are what peasants would bring to one another. And so this is definitely not befitting a royal family. And so she's really playing the part really, really well. So she brings even the food that peasants would bring in this regard. And everything is set up in this way. So she goes along, and of course, I mean, you know, what kind of idiot thinks that he can fool God? You know what I mean? I mean, what kind of stupid person can think that they can fool God or fool the man of God? And so obviously, Ahijah, this prophet of the Lord, God speaks to him and says, hey, I mean, isn't that pretty cool? Hey, by the way, you know, tomorrow someone's going to come, and this person is actually the king's wife. But she's going to pretend to be somebody else, and this is the word of the Lord. And, I mean, this whole plan backfires drastically. And so, of course, so she comes, and Ahijah says, hey, wife of Jeroboam. You know, I mean, it's like no surprise. And then he gives him the word. It says, because, basically, I chose you, I picked you out, and yet you have defiled my name. You have set up the high places. You've set up the Asherim. Asherim was these wooden poles, but it represent the female deities. And then there was male deities as well. And so this is all fertility gods that they're laid out, which okay, now, when you went through the scriptures, when you see fertility gods, it's not just about having kids, but what it represented was that they dedicated their kids to these gods. They basically said that these gods gave us the power to have kids. Who gives the power to have children? It's the Lord only Him. And so they're ascribing to these other gods the privilege that only belongs to the Lord. Remember, throughout the Israel society, the Israelites, they were to dedicate their children unto the Lord. And now you have this incredible apostasy that even creation itself is now ascribed to these poles and you know what they call the Asherim and all these things. I mean, the Israel has gotten to such a horrible state. And he tells them, he says, because you've not followed, you know, like I picked you out, I lifted you up, and because you've not followed in the ways of your father David, as a result, I'm going to rip this kingdom from you, and I'm going to blot out your name. This is a common phrase in Hebrew that prophets use, especially when it meant judgment to a family. And he's using hyperbole, obviously. He's saying, you know, the dogs will eat you in the city, the birds will eat you in the fields. And it's not a literal translation per se, but it's just hyperbole to say that you're going to be totally wiped out from the face of the earth. And that's precisely what happens. I mean, it's just this horrible, horrible thing. And in other words, and what's going to happen is when the moment you step foot into the city, remember, they were in Tirzah, which was the head of the kingdom of Israel. The Judah was in Jerusalem, if you remember. And he says, what's going to happen is as soon as you step in, your son's going to die. They're going to mourn for him, and we're going to blot out your name because you've done this thing. Now, see the tragedy here, because you see the summary statement in verse 19. Tragedy is Jeroboam doesn't change. You would think that this would lead him to repentance, but he doesn't. And thus you see the reason for the harshness and the swiftness of God's judgment on Jeroboam. And so many opportunities he's had to repent and give his life over and turn the kingdom around, and refuses to do that for whatever reason. And so there goes Jeroboam. Well, then we have Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And sometimes we kind of get confused, these guys. And these guys are fighting all the time. Rehoboam also does the same thing. He starts off, when he begins his reign, he starts off pretty good. But then he does evil in the sight of the Lord. And he also sets up the Asherim. And he sets up sacred pillars in the high places. And in fact, he says, besides every luxuriant tree, they set up a shrine. And now Judah has gone the way of the Israelites have gone. And so in this particular instance, God raises up Shishak, which is the king of Egypt. And he raises up Shishak, and he comes in and really to render judgment. And it's the situation is so sad. Shishak takes all the precious instruments that were in the temple, all the precious instruments that were in the palace, particularly the golden shields. Remember when we're reading about the temple and Solomon was really proud of these golden shields? I mean, he produced thousands of these shields and they were taken away. And what a horrible commentary that Rehoboam replaces the golden shields with shields of bronze. And it's such a sad, sad state of being. Think of this in our modern term. It would be like, you know, you're a husband and you, you know, you bought your wife a really nice diamond ring. And I mean, it's just your pride and joy. You could afford this and do this. And then calamity strikes. I mean, you're at rock bottom. So you have to sell or get rid of your diamond ring, and you go and buy a cubic zirconia to replace it. You know, and so there's some shame, you know. I mean, okay, nothing wrong with cubic zirconia if you're not into diamonds or anything like that. But it's the idea that you replace something that was so precious with something that was so worthless in that regard. And so now what was the glory of Solomon, the gold, now replaced with cheap metal, basically, just these bronze shields. And Rehoboam, and he's nothing special. He doesn't really do anything well. And he also goes by the way of his life, and he sleeps, and then his son Abijam reigns. And so you'll have this commentary all throughout. Remember, the kings of Israel, every single one of them was evil. Every single one of them. Not one was good. Judah, hit and miss. He had a good king, then a bad king, and a good king, then a bad king, good king. It's kind of went back and forth. It's not quite 50-50. It's a little, the good kings were a little bit less. But we see how the kingdom of Israel, the Israelites, have really been torn asunder during this time. And it just becomes a really difficult thing. So let's close our eyes. This goes to one of the themes that's in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, or better stated, 1, 2, 3, and 4 Kings. And it's a simple idea that you follow the Lord, blessing and prosperity. Even as a leader, you don't follow the Lord, destruction and calamity are bound to come our way. And it's such an easy equation. you trust the Lord and follow Him, you could be assured of good things coming our way. Because now you're poised to receive the goodness of God. You walk in disobedience and idolatry. Basically just means that God's hand is lifted off. And now you begin to experience those things that are outside of His hands. It's a really good warning for us in this way. Let's follow the Lord. That's the path that leads to blessing and prosperity. It's such an easy formula for us. And it's really the theme of all four of these books as it relates to the Kings. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us today.
Wasn't a day that you weren't by my side.
Let's pray this morning. Huh? Let's pray that we would follow the Lord. Obedience equals blessing. Disobedience results in discouragement. Let's pray that we be obedient people before the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community that are battling cancer, going through therapies, so let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray that God will reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and his open doors. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's pray for our church. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu, and let's pray the Lord continue to use him. Pray for the board, and there's new staff people that are being raised up there. Let's ask God to just really take all these new young believers and disciple them. Let's pray for the Chung family, especially as they figure out their visa issues. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie Clark and her health, and let's lift up the churches all throughout. Let's pray the gospel would be preached powerfully throughout China. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask God to use them to really bring about his purposes here at church. Pray for this incredible amount of wisdom, and also pray and ask for protection over their families. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for men's ministry. Pray for men's prayer meeting, Pure Desire and the fraternity. Pray for the women's ministry, the Lift ministry and discipleship class. Pray for young adults, the single life workshop that's going on right now. Let's pray that people will really draw close to God, and out of their vulnerability that healing would flow. Let's also lift up Yahweh Eats and the gatherings and the springs, Love After Marriage, that's starting in August. Let's pray for people to sign up and couples to really draw closer to each other and to the Lord. Now let's lift up. Let's pray for Alpha. Let's rounding up the last few weeks. Let's pray for a good push. Let's pray that people would give their life to the Lord, and the ones that have given their life, that they would really be discipled and take the next steps to grow in love with the Lord. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers. There's their turning corner. They will be strengthened, and that they would continue to lead with a lot of grace. Let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches tonight. Cimbria, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, and Robin Hood. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide, and as the power of God would flow through our times tonight. And if we could just solicit some extra prayers today over Kim and Dom and Adam and their family. The trial, actually the appeal is today. It's this morning at 9:30 in the morning. And so if we're going to ask, obviously, let's pray for a favorable report. But more so, let's just cover the family. And, you know, regardless, whatever the outcome is, that they would just continue to trust the Lord. And God's hand would continue to be upon the family. And so let's just pray. Just pray for Thomas and Mr. Kwok, and just pray for, I mean, let's really pray for a favorable report today. Let's lift up. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. God, thank you for your word. Lord, it seems like every day, every morning, every week, you remind us, God, that, Lord, the path that leads to life, God, is a path of obedience. It's a path where you are, God, where we follow you. Lord, the moment that we stop following you, God, is the moment that leads to destruction, Lord. And so keep us on that narrow path, Lord. That's our prayer today. Now, we do pray a special prayer, God, for the Kwok family today. We pray, Lord, for a favorable report, God. We pray, Lord, there will be good news today, Lord. And but regardless of the outcome, God, we know that you're still the Lord, God, and that you still reign, and you still have your hand upon this family, Lord. And so we pray for your grace to overwhelm us, God, overwhelm them, God. And we thank you, Lord. We just watch over us today. God, help us to give glory to your Son, Jesus, in all that we do and say. We thank you. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.